This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Let's get a word from our sponsor.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsborough.
And my sincere thanks to Hooters for their second straight year in season of being presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I'd love to get up to Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa or 4th Street North in St. Pete. Tony Metzler competes in one of the podcast leagues. But let me just preface, this weekend is, I'm hoping to be able to go. Suffered an injury earlier this week. I had to pull myself off the golf course, and I think those of you that know me know. Anything that pulls me off the golf course is pretty damn serious. So as of the time of recording this podcast, Friday mid-afternoon, the injury occurred or was felt roughly 72 hours ago. Yeah, I'll figure it out. Just I'm injured. So if I sound a little off in this podcast, that's why. It's also why, and I apologize to those of you that enjoy my segments. I don't think anybody enjoys my segments more than I do with Gil Alexander every Thursday morning on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. And I was just, when I sleep, it's a time where I'm actually comfortable and not feeling injured. And I just try to sleep as long as I can, because all I've been really able to do for 3 days other than run an errand or two is rest. So I told Gil, I'm going to sit one out. And I try to sleep as long as I can in the mornings before I know, hey, it's time to get up, time to move around a little bit. It's been a struggle to move around for 72 hours. So I apologize to Gil, Jorge, everybody at VSiN, and those of you that listen on VSiN. I'll be back on next Thursday. It's not been a great week for me physically. So, all right, that all said, thankfully, the Rams and Vikings entertained me enough to where I wasn't in as much physical pain. Now, if you didn't have anybody in that game and your opponent did, you might have been in fantasy pain last night. You know what? If all Thursday night football games could be as fun as that one to watch, and I'm not taking the side of offense over defense here. It was just a fun game to watch from a fantasy standpoint. Obviously, offense means more than defense. It was. If all Thursday night games were like that, then bring them on. So, interestingly, I got an email. You can send emails to me at any point. I respond to all of them. Just don't ask me the most basic question, who do I start, A or B? Ask me a deeper question than that, or ask me about a specific player you're thinking about sitting, and then we'll talk about it. Or a player, should I get him in the lineup somewhere? ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Gentleman asked me, he's in a very good situation. It is a one quarterback league. And he's in a couple of them. And he has a big name established quarterback in one league, big name established quarterback in the other league, and his backup in both is Jared Goff. So he's blessed with riches at this point, and now he's considering making the switch. And I said to him, it's to his credit that he's waited, because those name quarterbacks have put up plenty of numbers, independent of their unique situations. And now maybe it's matchup specific. Goff continued to throw it last night, not only because the Vikings clearly are vulnerable on the back end, and especially once Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes went out. It's hard to keep up with everything going on in that game, but also McVay knew the Vikings are a threat to keep putting up points. So let's stay on the accelerator here. So it wasn't Gurley to finish the game. It was still a lot of Goff through the air to finish the game. It won't always be like that. If the Rams get up three scores on a team that lacks an explosive passing offense, then you'll see more Gurley, and Goff won't continue to put up the Tecmo Bowl numbers. I should call them the Bo Jackson Tecmo Bowl numbers. So matchup specific. Or I told the gentleman via email, if you feel good enough about, let's say in one of your leagues, Goff's value is going to be extremely high right now. And I think personally, it's very tough to trade quarterbacks in fantasy football, probably tougher than any other position. But perhaps there's some owner in the league that invested a lot in Jimmy Garoppolo and doesn't like his backup situation, doesn't have many options, who might be willing to throw you a starting caliber running back or a starting caliber wide receiver in exchange for a Goff. So that's a decision he has to make. Another, I don't want to forget some of the emails. Another email came in, you know, Arizona is really bad. Blew a 14-0 lead against the Bears last week. Finally went to Josh Rosen. Rosen came in with under 5 minutes left in the game. Did some good things, then threw a pick. And then he's going to get the call this week against Seattle, which is coming off a quality performance pretty much all the way around against the Cowboys, other than allowing Ezekiel Elliott to put up a good number rushing. Also, I understand Ezekiel Elliott has put up very good rushing yardage numbers. But from a fantasy standpoint, so maybe me putting him in the category with Bell, Fournette, Johnson is inaccurate. But he clearly hasn't been putting up McCaffrey numbers, Kamara numbers, Gurley numbers, just because the Cowboys have struggled to score. So I'll back off my criticism of Elliott going forward from a fantasy standpoint and keep him out of the Fournette, Bell, David Johnson, drafter's remorse conversation. But I think we'd all agree Melvin Gordon's numbers are better as an RB1. Gurley's numbers are better as an RB1. Kamara's numbers are better. And Christian McCaffrey's numbers are better. We're seeing more and more running backs fantasy-wise that you want to have who catch the ball out of the backfield. And Elliott did catch more balls out of the backfield last year, and the Cowboys still using him that way this year. But just because the Cowboys have no discernible target at wide receiver or tight end for Dak Prescott to throw to makes the entire defense focus on Elliott. And no Travis Frederick hurts that, but I'll correct that on Elliott. Now, an email came in with a change to Josh Rosen. And the gentleman was asking me about Ricky Seals-Jones. Now, Ricky Seals-Jones seems to be a name that bubbles up a few times a year as, hey, you know, is now the time to own him? Is now the time to play him? I honestly don't think Ricky Seals-Jones is any more than a bargain DFS play. He's the guy in a DFS situation that, if you play him in the right game and he puts up numbers and you have the other guys that you were supposed to have, you win. Generally, that's the way these things work with a lot of the daily games. For example, last night, if you played the single game captain mode via DraftKings, if you had Aldrick Robinson, God bless you. Two touchdowns, he will be the waiver claim of the week going forward, barring major injury to someone in week four on Sunday or Monday. But Aldrick Robinson was cheap, and he scores two touchdowns. So he was the perfect captain last night. I mean, I played Cooper Kupp as a captain and still didn't cash last night in a DraftKings game because I didn't have Aldrick Robinson. Instead, I had Laquon Treadwell, who, to his credit, actually caught a couple of balls, but also had a key drop, didn't get in the end zone, and was on the wrong side of one. I had four guys who exploded and then two who did nothing. And since I didn't have Aldrick Robinson, and then one other position that didn't produce, even though I had Cooper Kupp as a captain, I did have Thielen, I did have Cousins, I did have Gurley. Not enough. Not enough in that situation. One of the things that I'll go back to that I talk often with Gil Alexander and here on the podcast is you always want a piece of those big offenses. And boy, it's really playing out that way this year. You know, if you were fortunate to get the first overall pick and draft Gurley, you feel great about it. If you drafted really any of those Rams wide receivers, McVay has carved a niche for Brandon Cooks. And it's to Goff's credit that he spreads it out to Brandon Cooks. I mean, for a while there last night, it was Kupp, Kupp, Kupp. But by the end of the game, you look at the numbers, and there was plenty to go around to Cooks, to Woods. There's even talk of getting this tight end more involved now with the Rams. Gurley still did enough. It didn't explode from a fantasy standpoint, but I don't think his owners were unhappy. They were probably unhappy. Why aren't they handing him the ball more with a two possession lead? But that probably was a matchup thing as much as anything else. Goff obviously was a tremendous selection as a QB2. No matter whether you're one quarterback league, great selection as a two quarterback league. If you had Goff, and from the Viking standpoint, Cousins putting up big numbers as a QB1/2, Thielen, Diggs, both with those numbers, and Dalvin Cook wasn't on the field based on coach's decision. Just seems like in a situation like that, we see now Dalvin Cook has little value in a shootout game coming from behind. It was Latavius Murray, or it was not Rock Preston. Rock Preston was a Florida State. It was another guy with a similar name last night that I was not familiar with, and I don't think many fantasy players were familiar with. But that's concerning as it relates to Cook, that he comes back healthy and really had relatively little impact on a game with tons of fantasy points. And another bad game for Latavius Murray. For those of you that have been hanging on to him or claimed him as a handcuff to Dalvin Cook, I really don't know at this point if he is worth owning. Dalvin Cook is worth owning. Murray may not be worth owning. But that was quite a Thursday night game for those of you especially that had one or two pieces in that game. You're off to a fast start in your game this week, especially if the opponent of yours did not have anyone like that or had Dalvin Cook. They're obviously working from a big deficit. For example, one of my leagues, the Foundation League, I'm up 47 because I stack Cousins and Thielen. So I'm up 47 before my opponent even gets a player in the scoring column Sunday at 1 o'clock. So let's move through. Let's go ahead and move through some of the games on Sunday. I'll try to keep this moving along as fast as I can and just give you some key thoughts. Let's start with the 1 o'clock games, Texans and Colts. For as bad as the Texans have been, Deshaun Watson is still throwing. Hopkins and I think Fuller owners have been very pleased. Hopkins owners want more. But Watson is still throwing downfield. I guess that's the encouraging sign there. To the Colts' credit, their defense actually hasn't been that bad. Now let's see what it means against the Texans. They have one of the best rookies. Actually, they have more than one of the best rookies in the National Football League. So a young defense that has played well in spots. The concern about Andrew Luck not being able to, or not being put on the field to throw the Hail Mary into the end zone, where they used Brissett's arm instead, I think it's well documented. The depth of target for T.Y. Hilton is significantly down from where it was the last time we saw Andrew Luck. I'm a Hilton owner in the podcast league. I'm not thrilled at this point. The volume is there. The depth of target is not. Not much else to like about the Colts based on their RBBC and the almost every other week or every 3 weeks Marlon Mack tease at this point. Bills and Packers. Bills last week, I imagine some of you picked up Josh Allen as a waiver claim this week. Good luck with that. I get it. I understand it. I don't know much more than I get it off 1 week. I wouldn't be thrusting him into the lineup. He's actually a quarterback that I liked coming into the draft. I just don't know if he can pull that off again. And clearly the Vikings have some problems defensively, and he took advantage of that. Keep checking the status on McCoy. McCoy says he'll play. The team seems to be hedging on it. If McCoy doesn't play, then Chris Ivory is back in the mix again. Speaking of guys you might have picked up on waivers, I know I did, just in case I needed a running back this week. From the Packers standpoint, Geronimo Allison's value is up. Randall Cobb, despite 11 targets, value is down. Watch for Aaron Jones. Coming off the suspension last week, he got some touches and he looked explosive. And I have a feeling the Packers might give him more touches this week to see if he can do that again. And if he does, I would imagine Jones's share goes up significantly going forward until he gets hurt again. Buccaneers and Bears, we know it's Fitzmagic. Bears defense is a good one, but they were exposed by Sam Bradford a couple of times last week before tightening up and allowing Jordan Howard, certainly not Mitchell Trubisky, and some short fields to get them back in that game and win that game in Arizona. Trubisky right now considered probably the worst quarterback in the NFL. Even though the Bears have a winning record, they are winning in spite of Trubisky, who just is all over the place and clearly is limited with what he can do. Allen Robinson will get targets. He's probably the only guy worth playing on the Bears other than Jordan Howard, whose volume was up. From the Bucs standpoint, it's still Fitzpatrick. Mike Evans is a solid wide receiver one. Chris Godwin, DeSean Jackson, and O.J. Howard continues trending in the right direction, even though Cam Brate caught a touchdown last week. I don't think Brate is worth playing. No running back with the Bucs. That's their problem. They have no balance right now. Only running back in this game worth starting is Jordan Howard. Dolphins and Patriots. Kenyon Drake, disappointing. And it's not Frank Gore. Miami has been doing most of their stuff through the air, using Albert Wilson on gadget plays. Grant, with a big play last week. Tannehill's numbers have been good. Look, I don't think you're moving any quarterback out of your lineup to put Tannehill in. Let's just say he's getting the job done for the 3-0 Dolphins. I mean, there's not a lot for an undefeated team. There's not a lot to get excited about here fantasy wise. But it's to Adam Gase's credit and Ryan Tannehill's that they're winning. I own Albert Wilson, but I don't plan on playing him this week. But I still like the big play potential there. Now in a DFS situation, Albert Wilson might be a guy you play Same with Grant. Same with Stills. From the Patriots' standpoint, I mean, who knows at this point? I stayed away from drafting Tom Brady this year because I didn't like the way Tom Brady looked at the end of last year. I think his mobility is down. I think his arm strength is down. Patriots just don't look like they have very much. Even though Hogan had a couple of touchdowns while behind against the Jaguars, the word on Hogan is bad. Still don't know if Gordon's going to play. Gronk owners aren't getting what they wanted, and Burkhead goes on IR, and I think even someone asked me, so does this mean Sony Michel is a must play? I saw Patrick Daugherty's rankings on RotoWorld. They had Sony Michel as an RB2. I'm not playing him this week. He hasn't shown anything. And you're going up against a 3-0 team in the Dolphins. I'm not saying Michel is a bust. Translation, he's no Ronald Jones II, but Michel just hasn't shown anything. So I don't know that Belichick's going to keep him out there in a game that clearly wants to win to avoid falling to 1-3 when he can just put James White on the field, and at least James White can be a target that Tom Brady doesn't have to worry about his arm strength throwing to. Lions and Cowboys. Cowboys is pretty simple. The only guy you're playing is Ezekiel Elliott. And unless the Cowboys get a big play or two from someone other than Elliott, they're not going to win this game. The Lions passing attack has Galladay, Tate, Jones. I think all three are potentially worthy of starting. Galladay is probably the best one at this point. Kerryon Johnson off the 100-yard game, first in a long time. I want to see it two games in a row because Blunt had a lot of touches last week. Johnson just did more with his touches last week. I don't know that you're pulling out a running back that has been good for you if you own Kerryon Johnson to get Johnson in this game, even though Carson was able to run against the Cowboys. So I don't know that you're making room for Kerryon Johnson in your starting lineup yet. You need to see more. Bengals and Falcons. There should be a lot of points in this game. Andy Dalton did throw a number of picks against Carolina. AJ Green, I guess, is dealing with either one or two injuries. As long as Green is active, you're playing him. Tyler, you can make the case you're playing Tyler Boyd at least as a flex, or if you're in a three wide receiver league, because he's been getting target volume. If you've been happy with him, I think you're sticking with him in this game just because the Bengals are going to have to try to keep up. Doesn't look like any Joe Mixon, so Gio Bernard now is a running back that, yeah, I don't know that you're making room for him to play. Some are calling him an RB1 in this game. I'm not so sure. You know, are you pulling down an established running back to get Gio Bernard in your lineup? I mean, if you have room for Gio Bernard in your lineup, I think he's a good play this week. But I don't know that you're sitting someone that you trust just to get Gio Bernard in there, that he's a must play. From the Falcons standpoint, they have kind of the same thing going on their side. No Freeman again this week. Coleman in, third week in a row. 1 week was good, 1 week wasn't so good. I tend to think Coleman will be more on the good side this week. And we'll see what Ridley does. Four touchdowns the first two games. He's getting in the end zone. Julio Jones isn't. I wish I owned Calvin Ridley. I think he does have value going forward. Jets and Matt Ryan's been playing well. Actually, both quarterbacks from a fantasy standpoint have been putting up numbers, Dalton and Ryan. They're not losing you games. Jets and Jaguars. I don't think anybody's starting Sam Darnold this week. Sam Darnold's now down in that sort of bottom five of fantasy quarterbacks after that quality first game. Anunwa's getting targets. If you're not in a PPR league, I don't think you're even thinking of playing Anunwa here. I don't know that you're thinking of playing any Jets here, but I guess in a PPR league, maybe Anunwa. not really excited about it. From the Jaguar standpoint, it's the normal sort of dart throw on what's going to happen and the annual guessing game of will Leonard Fournette play. Follow it to see if he's active at 11:30, and you're taking your chances just as I am. The feeling is that once Fournette plays, he should be pretty good. But basically, he's been Le'Veon Bell other than one quarter. And at least, dare I say, if you drafted Le'Veon Bell, you've been better off because you knew going into game one you wouldn't have Le'Veon Bell. You knew it. So you were able to put another running back in there. If you had Fournette, you had no clue he was going to injure his hamstring in the first half of that first game. And then you knew he wasn't going to play week two. And then suddenly he's not going to play week three. It's been just a royal pain in the ass. So yeah, I'll say it. You were better off. If you're a Le'Veon Bell owner, you've had it easier than being a Fournette owner. So keep an eye on that. Eagles and Titans, Alshon Jeffrey, at this point, I guess he's going to go, but you need to follow that closely. If he goes, and you're hurting a wide receiver, yeah, get him in there. If you've been pretty good and comfortable with the wide receivers you're playing and not hurt by, I don't think anybody with Carolina and Washington, the only name that stands out there to me is Devin Funchess. But I think with Jeffrey, you put him in if you need him. Sit him 1 week if you don't, if he plays. Running back-wise, nothing really here feels good with all the different options and the Ajayi back injury and Corey Clement is questionable. I think it's a quad or something. If you can stay away from the Eagles running backs this week, I would. If you can stay away from Derrick Henry this week, I would. It just seems like the Titans just don't seem to know what they're doing offensively. It's amazing they've won two games, so congratulations to the Titans. But from a fantasy standpoint, they're a mess. Probably one of the top three teams where if you have players on the Titans, it's just driving you crazy. I think the only good things that have come out of the Titans' first 3 weeks from a fantasy standpoint is Deion Lewis's volume and Corey Davis getting targets and not getting hurt. That's it. Browns and Raiders, we are into the 4 o'clock games now. Browns and Raiders, yeah, I expect Baker Mayfield to do something. I've got to make a decision in the podcast league whether I play him or Russell Wilson. I'm leaning towards Mayfield just because I want to roll with him. Fast offense generates more snaps, keep the pace going. Jarvis Landry has spoken out that Mayfield can make all the throws. Looked like he could last week. I worry about him holding onto the ball too long to try to make plays. But Russell Wilson's made a career out of doing the same damn thing. And Josh Allen does the same thing in Buffalo, and look how that worked out last week. So you're playing Jarvis Landry, you're playing Carlos Hyde. From the Raiders' standpoint, a couple of good games in a row for Carr. Cooper, it's just still buyer beware. If you invested in him, I'm going to leave you to that big game for Jordy Nelson last week. It's kind of been interesting, isn't it? You go 1 week it was Cook, 1 week it was second week was okay with Cooper, I think better than okay, and then Jordy went off last week with a lot of yards after the catch. And Marshawn Lynch is getting into the end zone, and some of his runs are very beast mode-ish. Browns defense looks decent, let's just call it above average, but yeah, if you've been playing Lynch, I don't see why you wouldn't play him in this game. Seahawks and Cardinals, not much. I didn't play Russell Wilson last week. I may not play him this week, even though the Cardinals are down. The Cardinals are a desperate team, maybe just with a really bad coaching staff and a rookie quarterback. Wilson's numbers will probably be okay. I guess he's managed 2 touchdowns per game. But doesn't have a lot of help. Lockett is back and Carson's coming off a good game. I think you're watching to see if Carson can do it 2 weeks in a row. And from the Cardinals standpoint, if you're a David Johnson owner, I don't know what to tell you. And Larry Fitzgerald's not doing much either. Saints and Giants, also two more late afternoon games, Saints and Giants. Everybody you would normally play for the Saints, you're playing. I mean, huge numbers so far this year for Breeze, Thomas, and Kamara. And from the Giants standpoint, Evan Engram out. You're still playing Saquon Barkley because he's Eli's safety blanket. And you are playing Beckham, and you can make a case to play Shepard in this situation, especially in a daily game. 49ers and Chargers. Melvin Gordon, absolutely. Rivers, yes. Keep an eye on Keenan Allen's status. He's on the injury report. Mike Williams has had a couple of good games in a row. And for the 49ers, it's C.J. Beathard at quarterback. That's nothing. Even in a two-quarterback league, I don't think you're racing to pick up C.J. Beathard. Kittle's numbers should be okay. I would imagine Goodwin's numbers will be affected. And not sure what this means for Matt Breida going forward after two good games. Sunday night game is Ravens and Steelers. Ravens Steelers generally play very entertaining games without a lot of points. Ravens defense has been pretty good, other than the fact that AJ Green shredded them for three touchdowns in 17 minutes. So some are saying temper your expectations for Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, who's putting up wide receiver one numbers, even though he plays on the same team with Antonio Brown. James Conner, there's been a drop off, but the volume is still there with Conner. If you've been playing him, unless you clearly have a better option, I think you're still playing him here. From the Ravens standpoint, nothing has excited me all year about this team, and nothing does in this game. If you're thinking about playing Brown at wide receiver, I understand why, but you know what you're getting into. Allen is getting the goal line looks instead of Collins, and that's about all I have to say about this game, other than after the Vance McDonald stiff arm of Chris Conte, sending him to IR, and now I love the Bucs spin. Well, he was hurt anyway, probably shouldn't have even been out there. Well, then don't put him out there. It's amazing how after something happens, the Bucs put out this spin story to try to make something look better. Just like when Roberto Aguayo was cut, and then suddenly there was the story that the Glazers tried were the ones who tried to convince Jason Light to trade up to get him. That's just bullshit. That's Olivia Pope stuff, in my opinion. Chiefs and Broncos could be a very fun Monday night game. Not telling owners of key Chiefs players anything you don't need to know. This isn't the same Broncos defense. So big tickets on Monday night to surge and get that victory if you own Mahomes. If you drafted Mahomes to be your number two QB, he is now your starter. I would imagine you made the move to him last week. You can't keep sitting this guy. It almost is insignificant who your number one is. If you own Mahomes and you're sitting him, I don't know what to tell you. If your choice is to sit him, why don't you just trade the guy? Because like a Goff, you can get something for him at running back or wide receiver. And maybe get another backup quarterback back. He's got to be in your lineup. Kelsey's been the number one tight end two big weeks in a row. Is this a Tyreek Hill game or is this a Kelsey game? It feels like a Tyreek Hill game. I don't know that it'll be a bad Kelsey game, but it does feel like a Tyreek Hill game. Sammy Watkins, there's still been enough to go around for him. I guess Kareem Hunt owners are slightly disappointed. Maybe you put Hunt just below where Elliott is, but it seems like Hunt has a different role in this team for right now. Let's see if once – it's not going to be this easy for Mahomes all season. It can't be. So let's see once someone figures out – once someone can hit him or give him a look he hasn't seen, what it means for Hunt and how it changes things. From the Broncos standpoint, they're 2-1, but it feels like they're worse than that, that they're struggling, that the pieces right now don't – nothing – how can I put this? Well, let's say if you're an Emmanuel Sanders owner, you're happy, but you know what? He might be one of those wide receiver twos that you're thinking of benching because you think you can get more with someone else. And it's not like Sanders' numbers are bad, nor do I expect his numbers to be bad. I mean, the Chiefs haven't shown they can really stop anybody. But Case Keenum's play seems more workmanlike, kind of like a Tannehill type, getting it done, rather than fantasy production. Demaryius Thomas, I don't think is worth starting at this point. And Lindsey getting ejected last week kind of has you questioning whether or not I wouldn't be playing him this week in this game. I still think he's a good player and he's worth being on your roster, but that was a step back last week for him getting ejected. And still, it seems like every week the Booker, Freeman, Lindsey three-headed running back situation in Denver just leaves you with more questions than obvious answers. Oh, and then, well, that's it. Oh, I was going to do Colts-Patriots, but that's next Thursday night, so we don't need to touch that one. Again, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. This went way too long. Sorry I didn't get through the games faster, but if I didn't get to any player that you wanted me to talk about, that means either they're not worth playing or it was just an obvious situation, but you can email me about that player at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Hooters, always a terrific place to watch your fantasy players in action and also to enjoy college football every Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. I thank Hooters for their second straight year in season as the presenting sponsor of this podcast. Good luck this weekend. Send your emails to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, and we'll talk to you soon.